Glad to have you here today. I'm excited about a new series that we're launching today, and it's titled God the Third, the Holy Spirit. God the Third, the Holy Spirit. And I believe this is going to be a series that's going to turn some people upside down, inside out, and bring the joy of the Lord in this place in a lot of different ways. You know, have you ever had a situation where you had someone tell you some things about someone that caused you to form a negative opinion about that person, but later on you actually met that person and you found out they weren't that way at all, that you discovered you were misinformed about that person? I think probably we've all had that experience in some way or other. And you know, many Christians have a distorted, inaccurate view or opinion of the third person of the Trinity, God in the third person, God the Holy Spirit. And yet, so many believers continually to live defeated in their fight with temptation, or they bumble through life making decisions based on human reasoning alone. Many others live weak, powerless existence of faith. And I believe if we'll look unbiasedly into Scripture, we'll find that God in the third person wants to transform your life and take faith, take your faith to a more powerful, faith-filled level that you never knew existed. So, let's look at that today. So, who is He? Who is the Holy Spirit? You see, Jesus knew the Holy Spirit better than anyone. And He actually, in John chapter, in the book of John, we're going to start in John chapter 14, but He actually introduced the Holy Spirit to His disciples. And so, that's who we're going to look to. We're going to look to Jesus and His words as to who the Holy Spirit is. So, John chapter 14 is where we'll begin. In verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you." So, let's break that down a little bit. Verse 15 says, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Whoa! Jesus, keep your commandments? That's hard to do, right? Yes, it is. But he says, "I'm going to send you someone to help you with that." You see, Jesus knew it would be hard for them to do and hard for everyone else thereafter. He said, "I will ask God, and he'll give you a helper who will stay with you forever." And there's the first introduction of the Holy Spirit and his nature and his role in our lives. His role is as helper. That's the Holy Spirit's role, helper. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father." That sounds a little odd. I will pray the Father. But the context of the word pray there is ask. What Jesus is saying is, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Verse 17 is interesting. It calls him, it says he's the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and we're going to see why that is so in a little bit. But he says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you." With you. Dwells with you is present tense. That means he's with you right now. But then he goes on to say, "And he will be in you," which is future tense. So Jesus was also showing them there was going to be something else that was going to happen with the Holy Spirit here. He was not only going to be with them, but he would be in them at a future point in time. Jesus' Spirit was with them. But clearly he was telling them the Holy Spirit would soon be sent in another way that would have him dwell in them. Jesus was speaking this to the disciples, but that promise was for everyone. Everyone who that would believe in Jesus and receive him by faith. And so that Spirit of Truth, he calls him the Spirit of Truth, and we'll see in Scriptures a little later, he refers to him as Spirit of Truth again. You see, the Holy Spirit reveals truth. The Holy Spirit discerns truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. Amen. So how is the Holy Spirit our helper? Verses 25 and 26 here in chapter 14 says this. And Jesus again is speaking. Keep in mind, these are Jesus' words, okay? Not mine. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the helper, and in the Bible here, helper is capitalized, which indicates the Holy Spirit, which indicates he's a part of the Trinity. He's right there with God the Son, God the Father, and God the Son. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So here's the first thing, the first way he helps us. The Holy Spirit will teach us all things. The Holy Spirit will teach us all things. And I think all is underlined. That's important there. It says the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. You know, there's nothing that God doesn't know. There's nothing that the Holy Spirit does not know or have answers to. The second thing we see there is the Holy Spirit will help us remember Jesus' words. The Holy Spirit will help us remember Jesus' words. This is why Scripture is so accurate in all the various accounts, as the Holy Spirit gave them supernatural recall to write the same things by different people. There's times when you need a word or a scripture for someone, and the Holy Spirit can bring that remembrance to you. It can bring it to your mind. Look at verse chapter 15 and verse 26. Jesus again speaking, but when the helper comes, there's that word helper again. When the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, he calls him the Spirit of Truth again, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. He is the key to unraveling and overcoming the works of Satan, who is the father of lies. He's referred to the father of lies in the Bible. You see, ever since the beginning, from the fall of Adam and Eve, mankind has trudged through darkness. Darkness of the deceiver's lies. And then Jesus came and he declared himself as the way, the truth, and the life. And that he would send a helper to make it possible for people, God's people, to live in freedom from the enemy's deception. You see, that's what the enemy did with Adam and Eve. He deceived them. And from that point on, his lies had been deceiving mankind and still attempts to. But when Jesus came and made the one final sacrifice, through his blood, provided victory over sin and death. He also said, I'm leaving, but I'm sending a helper. And that helper, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of Truth. So that when you receive him, you'll no longer have to be deceived. You no longer have to live under deception. You can be free from deception and lies of the enemy. John 16:7. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." So Jesus is checking out to go and sit at the right hand of God the Father and intercede for us from there. Now, when he told the disciples, I'm out of here, I'm leaving, they were probably distraught, confused, didn't understand. I believe that's why he said, "Nevertheless, listen to me, I tell you the truth." He said, "I'm telling the truth, listen to this." And then he said, "It's good that I go away, because when I go, I'm going to send a helper for you, a helper." He clearly says he will send, and I want us to pay attention to something here in verse 7. "If I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send," what? Who? Him. You know why that's important? He's referring to the Holy Spirit there. See the capital on the H? Holy Spirit's a person. He's a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's not an it. He's not a thing. He's not some toy of God that God tosses out for us to play with once in a while. He's the person. He's the third person. He's God in the third person, the Holy Spirit. So it's important that we understand the Holy Spirit is a person. Look in verse 12. Jesus says, I've got many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. In other words, he says, I got a whole lot more to show you and tell you that's coming, but you can't handle it right now. You can't handle it. But he says, however, when he, who's he referring to? Holy Spirit. When he, the Spirit of truth, there it is again, has come, he will guide you into a little truth, right? Some truth? All truth. All truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Whatever he hears Jesus, whatever he hears God tell him to speak, the Holy Spirit will speak to us. You see, he's not a separate it thing out here. It says he won't speak on his own authority. He speaks on the authority of God and Jesus and himself, because it's the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God in three persons. Jesus said, there's a whole bunch that I want to tell you. But he knew they couldn't handle it then. They were already overwhelmed by the fact that Jesus was going away. But he says the Spirit of truth will reveal and direct them into all truth. And so this is another way the Holy Spirit is a helper. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. You want to know what truth is? You ask. You pray. You read the Word. You read the Scripture and you ask. You see, when the Holy Spirit is a part of your life, when you hear things, when you hear something said, something stated, immediately the Spirit will quicken your spirit and you'll know if it's truth or not. Now, you may not know exactly why it's not, but there'll be something in your spirit that will be quickened by the Holy Spirit that you'll say, that's not truth. Your spirit will say, that's not truth. Now, you don't have to reason it out and understand it. You'll just know. You see, he reveals all truth. And see, there's a lot of things being spoken today, preached from pulpits, that's not truth. Some of you watch some of these TV personalities, and I'm not talking about daytime shows, I'm talking about Christian television, and you applaud them, and you're really high on them. But I could bring you some video clips in here to some of the things that they're teaching and preaching, and it's heresy. It's heresy. And yet I hear people say, well, I really like them. I like listening to him. Well, something's missing. You need all truth. You need to know all truth, and you need to know what's not truth. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And whatever Jesus tells him to speak, he, the Holy Spirit, will speak. And now think about this day and time we live in. Is there anything more needed in this day and time of deception that we're living in? Even in the church, as I just mentioned, is there anything more needed than to be directed into all truth? Here's another form of help Jesus speaks of, is that the Holy Spirit will tell us things to come. The Holy Spirit will tell us things to come. He says in verse 13, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. You see, the Spirit will reveal things in the future. Now, I'm not talking about some of this garbage that some people frequent, like these palm readers and things like that. The Bible speaks very clearly about that. We don't dabble in that. It's witchcraft. It's called sorcery by the Bible. And it's dangerous, and it's not of God. But the Holy Spirit will reveal things in the future. It may be an immediate future, or it might be in the distant future, depending on what Jesus asked him to reveal. Sometimes it's very beneficial to know what's coming in order to be prepared. And this kind of revelation from the Holy Spirit may come in the form of wisdom about a situation or circumstance or a decision you got to make. But a key role of the Holy Spirit is to lead us supernaturally into truth and reveal things that lie ahead. You see, helper in the Greek is parakletos, and it literally means one who goes before you or on your behalf. The Holy Spirit's role is very clear in the first thing we're talking about today. It's to help us. It's to help us to know at times what to speak, when to speak, and something we don't like, when to be quiet. And he'll reveal these things to us when our mind may not know any of those. We may not know what to speak or when to speak or when to zip it. But the Holy Spirit does, and he will quicken our spirits to know what, when, and when not. Let me give you examples. Just a quick example. One time, and it's been a while back, during our prayer time, people were coming forward for prayer, and someone came up to me for prayer, and I said, how can I pray for you? And the person started saying something about another person and praying for this or that or whatever. And I was looking in their face, and the Holy Spirit said, that's not it. That's not it. Ask them about their unforgiveness. So you know what? I'm just dumb enough to do what he says. And I said, let me ask you something. Who do you need to forgive? Who are you holding unforgiveness against? And the person just began to weep. And they began to pour it out. You see, that wasn't me. That's the Holy Spirit. And that's how he works. That's how he's our helper. And it wasn't so much that he wanted to help me. I was just available to be used as he flowed through me. He wanted to help that person. He wanted that person to be released from the bondage of an unforgiving heart. That's just one example. You know, sometimes sometimes you'll go to do something, and then just in your spirit and your mind, you say, no, I need to do it here or go here instead of there. And that's happened recently. I had an encounter with a person. I was going to do some business here and passed by, and I just, for whatever reason, I went in and said, no, I got to go in. And I had an encounter with her in person, and it was a God encounter, because I just talked to them and they said, I just need you to come here. And we started talking about some things of God. And it's made a change in that person's life already. That's how the Holy Spirit helps us. That's how He shows us. You may be in business and need to make a business decision. I've read accounts where businessmen that own multi-million-dollar corporations go away and spend a couple days with God just praying about the business going in the future. And God reveals things about projects or certain directions or things to go or not to go. I've heard testimonies of that. The Holy Spirit is our helper. And that's why Jesus said, I'm going to send you a helper, because He knew we'd need help. We'd need help discerning truth, because there's so much untruth. There's so much deception in the world today. Amen? God really does speak to us. And hearing His voice is critical for breaking out of old comfort zones and allowing the Holy Spirit to move us to new levels of faith and impacting the world around us. You see, a lot of times we get comfortable in our faith. Okay? I like the church, I like the music, I kind of like the pastor. He's okay. Sometimes I don't like him, but he's okay. And, you know, life is good. I do my little 10-minute devotional two or three times a week, and I'm kind of comfortable where I'm at. And you know what? God doesn't want you to get comfortable. Because when you get comfortable, you're leaking. You're leaking. And that's the Holy Spirit's, another way the Holy Spirit is a helper. He doesn't allow us to get comfortable. He will stir things up. He will create things, make things happen, and keep you moving. John 16, verse 8 through 11. Jesus said, and when He, the Holy Spirit, has come, He will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and you see Me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Okay. The Holy Spirit, Jesus states three ways that He is going to convict the world. The first is of sin, then of righteousness, and then of judgment. He's going to convict the world of sin, He says there. First of all, let's talk about conviction. We've got to have a clear understanding of conviction so we can understand these scriptures. This is not this conviction. He's going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's not talking about in a criminal sense. It's not referring to criminal activity. The word conviction is used here means convince. The Holy Spirit will convince the world of God's truth. After all, He's the Spirit of truth, right? Okay, but the world doesn't know truth, does it? See, He's going to convince the world of God's truth. And that's when He says He'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He will convince the world of God's truth. Verse 9, it says, of sin, because they do not believe in Me. This is the first thing. He says, when the Holy Spirit convicts people who don't know Jesus, who don't know God, He's convincing them of sin in their life, and He brings an awareness of their need for a Savior. Jesus said, no man comes to Me unless the Father who sent me draws him. You see, that's what's happening there when he says the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin. That's his role. He convicts. He's drawing people. He's drawing them to God. Sin. If he convicts them of sin, what he's saying is he's convincing them. He's bringing an awareness of their need for Jesus. An awareness of their need for Jesus. You see, Jesus said of sin because they do not believe in me. They don't believe in him. I remember when I accepted Christ into my life. There was a sudden realization that I couldn't do life on my own. No matter how hard I tried, how much I tried, I realized it was beyond me and I needed God. That was the Holy Spirit's conviction, drawing me to Jesus, to God. You see, the Holy Spirit convicts us of righteousness. That's the next thing he does. He convicts us of righteousness. But here's what I want us to understand on righteousness before this next point comes up. We need to understand what righteousness means, because it does not mean what a lot of people think. Righteousness does not mean right behavior. You see, there's a lot of good people out there with good morals and good moral standing, but they don't have righteousness. They're not in right standing with God because they don't know God. There's a lot of good people out there with good high morals, but there's no righteousness because they don't know God. And here's why. Right behavior is not righteousness. Righteousness, here's the point, is right standing with God. Righteousness is right standing with God. That means you're in a place, a right place with God. You're in right standing, right relationship with God. You see, the scripture doesn't say he convicts us of our need to live right. Jesus said, because I go to the Father. Verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. So he says, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of righteousness because I'm out of here. They won't see me anymore. Okay? I go to the Father. You see, we have right standing with God because Jesus ascended to the Father and he sits at the right hand of God. And that's an eternal reminder that our sins have been paid for, i.e. the cross. That's why we have right standing with God. Because Jesus rose from the dead, and Jesus ascended to heaven, and Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he sent the Holy Spirit to convict us of righteousness, to convict us, to convince us of our right standing with God. You see, here's the big weakness and why the Holy Spirit is so critical. The big weakness of a lot of Christians is they don't understand their right standing with God. Because the devil is all the time saying, you blew it. You screwed up. You said that. You thought that. You did that. You're not worthy. You're not going to make it. You're not good enough. And you see, the Holy Spirit says, no. The Holy Spirit convinces us of what? All truth. What's the truth? Jesus died for my sins. And through his blood, my sins are forgiven, and I am set free, and I am forgiven. And because of what Jesus did, nothing I did, because of what he did, the truth is I'm in right standing with God because I've received Christ as my Savior. I've received that forgiveness. And you see what happens? Too many Christians forget they've received the forgiveness of God, and they go around living like rag dolls kicked around by Satan. The Holy Spirit is sent to convince you, to remind you, that's not truth. Truth is, you're in right standing with God, not because of anything you do or have done, but because of what Jesus did. Righteousness is not living right. Righteousness is in right standing with God. So people with high, great high morals, the salt, people that you just love, they're great, generous, loving people, but they don't have Christ. No righteousness. They're not in right standing with God. It's because of what He did. Jesus says the Holy Spirit convicts us of righteousness. And here's the thing. For some of you that may not have a relationship with Christ yet, that's the other thing. When it says He's convicting the world of righteousness, He's convincing people that it's possible to be in right standing with God. Because you see, a lot of unbelievers don't think, I can never be right with God. I'm a dirtbag. I've done so many things. You know how many times I've heard that? I've done so many things. I had a guy I went to school with on his deathbed talking to him about Jesus. He said, man, God can't forgive me. I've been bad. He said, you know what I've done. I said, you got it wrong, brother. You got it wrong. That's why Jesus died. You see, we need to be reminded of that, and unbelievers need to be convinced that it is possible to be right with God. That's the Holy Spirit's conviction. We've been made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. Understanding that through salvation, you've been given the gift of righteousness. And that's another help of the Holy Spirit. Verse 11 says, and He'll convict the world of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Judgment. Judgment. He'll convict the world of judgment. You see, the ruler of this world, Jesus refers to as Satan. And that's when He's talking about the judgment He's talking about there. The ruler of this world is Satan. John 12:31 says this. Don't go there. I'm just going to read it to you. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. John 14. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, Jesus. Satan was the ruler of the world. Satan was the ruler of the world. However, 2,000 years ago, he was judged through Jesus' final sacrifice and victory over death, hell, and the grave. So the Holy Spirit convicts us of this truth, convincing us, listen, that Satan has been judged and he's kicked out. He no longer has authority over our lives. That is a true help every believer needs from the Holy Spirit. To realize that Satan cannot have authority over you unless you allow it. He's been judged. He's done. He was the ruler of this world, but when Jesus came, that was over. And the reason the Holy Spirit, it's so important that He is in us, is to convince us that we don't have to live under the authority of Satan, under the power of Satan, under the bondages that Satan puts on us. See, the Holy Spirit is a helper to help convince the world of judgment. Satan has been judged. He no longer has power over you. The Word says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Understand this. The Holy Spirit comes to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And somehow people get that picture skewed. It doesn't mean He comes to tell you what a horrible person you are, what a bad life you're living. that God doesn't like you or he's mad at you. That's not what that means, but yet people believe that. That's not all truth. That's why the Holy Spirit is such a helper. Listen. That's Satan's role. Satan's role is to tell you God's mad at you. God doesn't care about you. You're not good enough for God. You can never be right with God. That's Satan's role. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. And he wants you to believe that you're not worthy of God's acceptance. And he always reminds you emphatically when you've blown it by guilt and shame, right? I mean, how many of you have messed up? Who are those of you that are Christians here today have blown it, messed up, and immediately you feel so guilty you can't stand yourself. You feel so shameful you don't want to face anybody. You want to run and hide and isolate. Hello? Am I right? It's a lie. It's a lie from the enemy. And the Holy Spirit, only the Holy Spirit filling you and reminding you that's a lie. That's a lie. Guilt and shame is from the enemy. The Holy Spirit was sent to make us aware that we're lost and we're in need of Jesus, and then to draw us to him. That's the Holy Spirit's role. He was sent to make us aware of our need for Jesus and to draw us to him, and then to convince us that when we come to him, we're in right standing with God through Jesus. And then to convict us that Satan is defeated. Satan is a defeated enemy, and he does not have authority over your life. Open yourself to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and you'll see that he will help you in every aspect of your Christian life, because he is our helper. Number one, that's who the Holy Spirit is, our helper. Let's pray. When you came in here today, maybe you had no idea of the Holy Spirit's role, who he is. You know, because of a lot of abuses and misuses and misconceptions and wrong actions by Christians, the Holy Spirit has gotten a bad rap over the years. And to me, that's almost blasphemy, because the Holy Spirit is God. God, the third person. He's God with us. Emmanuel, Jesus came to earth, God with us. Jesus said, I'm going to be with the Father, but I'm sending a helper, the Holy Spirit, the third person. God in the third person, God with us, the Holy Spirit. And whether you're a believer today or an unbeliever, no matter where you are in faith, the Holy Spirit speaks and woos you. So maybe today you've never accepted the forgiveness of God. You've never accepted what Jesus has done for you. And I believe the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart saying, it's true. It's true. There's forgiveness. The blood of Jesus provided forgiveness for you, no matter what you've done, no matter what your past is. And so today, the Holy Spirit is saying, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Turn away. Repent is the word. Turn away from your old life. Allow him to give you new life. New life that never gets old. New life that never stops. New life that is forever. Would it be someone here that you're just being convinced right now, convicted by the Holy Spirit, that you need Jesus in your life? as people are praying, would you just lift your hand so I can pray for you? Anyone here would say, I need Jesus in my life. I want to give him all my life. I see your hand. Anyone else? I see your hand. Anyone else? I see it. Okay, those of you that lifted your hand, you can put them down, but pray this prayer right now. Pray it with your heart. Lord, forgive me. I believe your son Jesus died for me. And today, I accept his forgiveness. I accept the blood that was shed for me to set me free, to give me a new heart, and to give me a new start. I turn away, I purposely turn away from my old life. And I receive him by faith right now. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for giving me new life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me full with your Spirit to empower me to walk in victory. To walk in freedom. Fill me now in Jesus' name. I receive him by faith. Amen. I'm excited about this series because I believe we're going to discover things about God, the Holy Spirit, in ways that maybe some have never heard or experienced before. And I'll be talking about another role of the Holy Spirit next week in a different role. And I'm not going to tell you what that is. You'll have to be here to hear it. But it's an even closer role than what we talked about today. You know, the Holy Spirit's not weird because God's not weird. The Holy Spirit is God. We'll talk about that too later on. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need him not just with us, we need him in us. Because that's where the power to live the Christian life in victory over sin, over bondages, over hang-ups and hurts and wounds, that's where that healing power comes from. To have wisdom, to not step into the enemy's traps, to know and to be able to discern what's around the corner or what may be around the corner comes from the Holy Spirit. The church needs that. The church today, and I speak of that as the church at large, worldwide, includes us. But the big missing link in the church today, in all my heart, I believe, in all, even the years since I became a Christian, in my understanding and what I see, is the big missing link is the Holy Spirit in the church today. Because people have gotten weird and gotten in the flesh and blaming it on the Holy Spirit and attributing it to him and things like that. And so we need to go to Scripture and we need to hear what Jesus says, who the Holy Spirit is, and embrace him. Amen. Ushers, if you'll come and prepare to receive the offerings. And if you made a decision this morning of any kind, would you please fill out that connection point? Write it on that connection point. Those connection points are important for us. It keeps me in communication with you guys when I can't talk to you during the week. Knows what's going on in your life and give us your prayer things. If you made a decision, check it on the back or write it in there so we can encourage you through prayer and just send you a note to encourage you. Thank you.